Blog Talk Radio.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there to drink my wine. Plowman dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody of it is worth. To get it.
Yeah, this is Shannon McGauley with Don Fuller. I'd like to welcome you to this week's short show on current affairs and suggestions on how we can correct the downfall of this nation. You with us, Don?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I guess you're looking forward till tomorrow night to the big State of the Union from your Commander-in-Chief.
I didn't even know what was going on. I'm a little out of touch with such things. That's going
to
be spectacular.
Are you able to escape it all down there where you're at?
Oh, sure. 20 miles outside of Metro Atlanta. Yeah, we're just impervious to all the wonderful shenanigans.
Well, he wants several more billions of dollars of a tax increase. He wants to tax the rich. I still think that's a bad idea, but I believe that we need to tax successful corporations, give them the tax incentives as long as they go to treat employees, workers as employees and not contractors, that they ought to be rewarded for that. It's these companies nowadays in our area that they want to have contractors and no employees. And they don't want to reward anybody for their effort. Technically, somebody could put in 8, 10, 15 years at a company as a contractor and have nothing when they leave, and I think that's wrong.
Yes, yeah. And I think it's great you're about to take some action to try to do something about that. That's a wonderful thing. It happens both ways, too. A lot of times the companies want to take on contractors and treat them like employees, but get all the benefits of having an independent contractor and not confer any of the benefits. They want it both ways, you know, take advantage of you no matter how you can be taken, you know, however you can be taken advantage of. And yeah, unless people kind of stand up and actually do something about it, they just continue to do such things. So I think it's great you're doing that.
Well, all I remember is back in the 80s when companies would compete for our labor. See, if the ideal of the companies, you know, working with the employees, then you wouldn't have to raise unemployment or minimum wage, because the pay would go. I mean, understand, in some of these industries, the billable hour was like $42 an hour. Now it's like 17, because they've been able to manipulate you shouldn't be able to work for a company for more than 3 years without gaining some type of equity. So I push that any company that has 51 employees or more would have to follow a criteria if they want to get any type of tax breaks come tax time. It's just ridiculous that these companies be able to, they always want to hire another company instead of taking and representing the employee. The employee puts 5, 10, 15, 20 years with your company, and then all of a sudden you decide to make a change, you cut them loose. There's none of this layoff. There's none of this, not the things that I was accustomed to back in my day. The only time that they would hire a temporary, which is what a contractor is if they had a 30, 60, or 90-day job, and that was it. So they didn't really need an employee. They needed somebody for the duration of the project, and they were gone. But here, they work these employees, you know, or these contractors, however many months, and then out the door they go. I've seen where they've taken the employee and then laid them off, and then brought them back as a contractor. So they didn't have to provide them any benefits. They didn't have to provide them anything, health care, nothing. It all falls burden on another company. And then here's another thing about it. They'll come in and work on holidays and stuff, on certain types of holidays, because the employee will not. If the employee, that's a paid holiday. So instead of you having zero workforce come in, your contractors come in. Because your contractors don't get paid unless they come in, you know. And I can remember in one instance where there was a Legionnaire's disease is what it was, and they shut everything down, and only the contractors came in, and they didn't even have the decency to give the contractors a mask. They just sit them in there, and if they caught it, they caught it. If they didn't, they didn't. That's what I thought was ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a big corp for you that you let them get out of hand. Yeah, that's pretty much where it ends, right to the bottom.
Well, I'll tell you exactly who it was, okay? It was USCIS student. USCIS student comes in. They get diagnosed in, I believe, San Diego with Legionnaires' disease. Instead of keeping their sorry butt in California, they fly out to Texas, and they start feeling sick again. So they go to the ER in Texas, and all of a sudden the alert goes. You got a whole building shut down, everybody out of a job. Think about those the other contractors that worked out there. They were without pay because of this for, I don't remember how many weeks it was, 5 weeks, whatever it was, where they did the decontamination, and they didn't have a decency to put any protective gear on anybody out there, you know. It was unreal. Or you have snow days or ice days, and they said, all the employees that they got to have on site, they get them a hotel room close by, and then the contractors, they're contracts. We don't pay for that. You know, it's just ridiculous, the double standard. And now you see in the companies, only the upper people in the upper levels of the company are the employees. The rest of them are contractors, nothing but contractors. And there is no loyalty or respect. And what really just irritates me is just that you'll see at some of the company functions, you'll see where they'll say, we want you to treat this company like it's yours. And I'm thinking, well, how can you treat the company like it's yours if you're not getting any equity? All your labor is for nothing. It's not, you know, these people just aren't really bright. They're just users. They want to use us. So what's it like out there in your big state?
I'm getting like feedback from my phone. Well, you have the usual stuff here in Atlanta. Come here a few years back, so I'm not 100% familiar with the thing here. But from what I understand, an activist is involved with the anti-Asian organization team, DA team, does a bunch of research and looking into things. And he has brought to light some of the racist groups that pop up from time to time, how they're in bed with government and here, and how they're working with, you know, in cahoots with government, basically, to, you know, sidestep the things that shouldn't be sidestepped and so forth. So primarily what I know about the thing here is that it pays to be in the big business in Atlanta, and in some cases some of the more outrageous things are right out there where you can see them. They had a massive project at the airport for, I don't know, 5 years, where they spent close to $500 million, I believe. And right there, government money, it was just booming with illegal aliens from all over the world. They had Iraqis and working down there, and some of the contractors, the subcontractors, were so brazen. They would bring these guys in for 2 weeks, and they would work, and then they would kick them to the curb, and there's nothing they could do, and they just bring a fresh crop of them. And even the news media was just turning a blind eye, like they knew what was going on, and they would cover different stories at the airport when everyone knew full well that these government contracts were going to, you know, companies that were using slave labor, essentially, down at the airport, and that was kicking them to the curb.
On the stimulus package, you know, I can understand the first time that Obama, whatever. I can understand when you furnished the first stimulus package that it could be misused, and where companies were hiring foreigners when the whole idea of the stimulus was to create stimulus within the nation and within the with the Americans or the people legally here. But okay, after the first stimulus package, you've seen that it was misused, especially in California and in Dallas. And then Obama, you know, it's like, I'm going to do the same thing, and then I hope that it has a different outcome. They just release it again. They don't require E-Verify. I mean, it's like that's taboo in the Democratic philosophy or scheme of things is to any type of protection. If we enforce 90% of our immigration laws, we wouldn't have a problem. The reason we have a problem is that the laws were not enforced. And we got these people running amok, and they've got a stranglehold on us. You know, we got Lindsey Graham. You know, Lindsey Graham, he couldn't make a pimple on a senator's ass, in my opinion. That guy's a traitor. And I got into a discussion with my dad today about John McCain. I consider him a traitor because he's a traitor to the American people because they didn't listen. These politicians do not know the word no. When I tell you that I do not want to do that and you're representing me, that means you stop. That don't mean that you continue to push and push. If McCain, Lindsey Graham, and Senator Kidney, thank God, thanks to God that he put him down, you know, like a rabid animal, finally. Those three, if you remember, were trying to shove amnesty down our throats, and they tried 2 to 3 times, and we were barely able to get to keep it from happening. And had McCain passed it, he'd have just been looking at us in his rearview mirror and went on down the road. And again, how the heck did McCain get reelected when J.D. Hayworth was running against him? The people in Arizona deserve exactly what they get.
Probably the same way he was put up for president. I mean, this guy was losing at the polls. His campaign was basically dead in the water. And then we were like, yay, because he did a little bit of activism against him. We showed up at one or two of his campaign fundraisers, and, you know, with signs and such like that. He practically had a convulsion. He was just visibly disturbed by it. So anyway, we get through with that. And then 2 weeks later, we're just like, yay, his campaign's out of money. It's not going anywhere. He's not polling. We thought he was just going to shut it down. And then you turn around, and instantaneously, he's the GOP candidate for the election that year against Obama. How did that happen?
Yeah, I bragged about that. I bragged that his campaign was in life support.
Right.
And I don't know how he got it turned around. I guess the GOP, they got turned around. The GOP is part of the enemy. They're the ones that want to continue taking money from big business. Big business ought to earn our loyalty. Now, I'm not talking about the stranglehold that the unions have. The unions tried to sell out Americans along with Obama and his Obamacare. They thought that they were going to be immune from any type of Obamacare, that only the commoners, the non-union people were going after. And Obama was doing damage control because there was Trojan horses rolling into these union environments and causing them to lose their insurance. I don't know if he ever got that stopped or not. But the unions, they kind of lose their way. You know, if the company only makes $500,000 in profit, it's better for the union not to ask for $600,000 a year increase. Those companies can't do it. You know, only what the market will bear. But they don't seem to realize that, and that's why Washington has learned that Boeing went down south to open up a plant down there because of the unions having a stranglehold up there in Washington. So. You reap what you sow. So, and then now, you know, the Connecticut and their gun things, we've got gun manufacturers moving to Texas because Connecticut's no longer a friendly environment. Oh, did you happen to read what Michael Moore was saying about the American Sniper movie?
No.
He was saying that the snipers are cowards. You know, and I'd like to see Michael Moore lay out in a brush for months at a time and see what his perspective would be then. He wasn't getting any publicity, so he decides to insult a hero. Do you think that any of these snipers were sitting at home or in the 11th grade thinking, I'm going to join the military and be a sniper and kill people? No. They went and got training, and that happened to be their ability sharp in that area. So the military capitalized on it and used them to try to help them in the war. And I don't hold anything against anybody that does that because they joined the military and that's what they were ordered to do. I think a lot of our people join the military to get an education, to gamble that they would get in and out without having to do a conflict and get the education paid for. Well, in the last 15 years, that didn't happen. People that joined the military got jammed up. A lot of them lost personal businesses and et cetera to fight this war. A lot of the war makes sense, and there's a portion of it that doesn't make sense.
Well, it's the endless war. You know, they needed a pretext for endless war because there just wasn't enough of them. Now they have it, basically, and that's what keeps the money rolling. You know, but to go back to something you said about Republicans and Democrats, you know, you have to be really, really not paying attention in this country to understand just how bad it is. The NDAA from a few years back was passed by Republicans and signed into law by Obama. So that goes to show you what's really going on there. Now, the NDAA, a lot of people don't even know what it is or that it exists, but basically, you know, the provisions of the NDAA, along with funding things, one of the key things was you can now be detained as an American citizen without charge indefinitely. So now you've taken 800 years of progress in Western civilization with habeas corpus and the Magna Carta, and you've thrown it away. And if you don't have
speaking of habeas corpus, where's our friend, our favorite friend, Alberto Gonzalez? Where's he hiding at?
Now, if it's one of their people that do the dirty deed, they don't pay attention. Yeah.
Every time I hear an area in there, Don, I keep thinking of Benjamin Franklin. You know, and if you give up liberty for security, in the end, you deserve neither. That's why.
Well, they've taken the final step.
Anti-terror action, you know, where they're going around now after what happened in France, that stuff scares me because now they're going to call any action an anti-terror action. You know, it might be terror, so just in case, we're going to come over here and all our forces force this person, and we're sorry if we're wrong.
So you basically
should be being arrested without due process.
Yeah, due process is gone. Okay. No, that's gone. Due process, search and seizure, Fourth Amendment, that's been eviscerated. They've taken almost the final step now that they need to do to basically have fascism in this country. And, you know, all the steps that were, you know, precluding Nazi Germany now have been taken in this country, say, for, you know, maybe 1 out of 9 out of 10, but you have everything else you need. Now you can throw dissidents, you know, in the gulag essentially without having to even have a charge. And definitely you can just sit them, you know, no lawyer.
Well, you know, I worked for an attorney for over 15 years, handled the, you know, all the aspects, getting people out of jail, subpoenas. It was always pounded in my head. The most powerful instrument in law is the writ, the habeas corpus. We used it day in and day out to get people released. And you're telling me that they can snatch you up, you can't tell your family anything, and all of a sudden you're just off the grid. And that's it, you're gone. So anybody that's getting in your way, as a political figure, all they can do is allege this, and then they move you right out of the scene, and you're gone, and you're eliminated.
Yeah, well, under the Patriot Act, everyone would really say, well, show me one person that these horrible, horrible provisions that you're talking about that apply to. Well, I could show you one. It happened to someone right in our little favor statement that Randy D. See, one day, he said something that the goons didn't like. He said something like, "Now how would the ACLU like it if that happened to them?" Okay, it was just sort of like a, you know, something you would say every day. Well, one of the goons reported that to the FBI. We finally found someone in there that didn't like us. They went and issued a search order for his house. It turned out that he had a, you know, ungrandfathered an assault rifle in there. And so they put him in jail and they, for making terroristic threats to the tune of $600,000 bail. He was in the hooshkow for 5 months over a terroristic threat.
I've seen that happen myself.
Well, and that's
listen,
under the
we will catch. Okay, we will catch everybody next week. And appreciate you joining us, trying to sharpen the tune. But join us next week and at 8 o'clock.
Bye-bye.